Ron wins the Masters Marathon.
Is Jack Nicklaus hitting out of a berry blind?
Welcome back to the Teed Up Golf Podcast. Huge week, massive week even, Masters Week preview. We're in the big house up here at Clubby Sports. Got a bloody contingency of people with me to break down the 88th edition of the Masters Tournament. We'll go right over the front end of the room. Shawnee Del George, you're back, mate. Well, it's good to be back in the same room.
Mate, it's good to see you in person.
Oh.
You've come back in. I love describing the way you come into the office, but you have floated in today. You've been calm. You're a new man. You've told us 17 times you've lost 6 kilos of weight. You're running.
Four.
You've got a sauna. You also have a child.
Yeah.
Zen Master Q.
Zen
That's
Master
your new
Q.
nickname.
Yeah, I found myself in the last few weeks.
Most people feel overwhelmed and stressed after having a baby, but you've just gone the other way.
He used to go in and buy like a Red Bull, a Monster, like snacks. He bought me a protein bar. You know, he bought me a gift.
Peak performance.
It's unreal, and I'm happy to say it.
Yeah, it's amazing what having a lovely young daughter has done to me. It's calmed me down.
You.
I'm like the Anthony Kim. I'm golf dad, girl
Minus
dad.
Minus the facial surgery.
I probably need it, but anyway. Brad McGill on me right in the studio. You've come across from Cranny, not in the big Berwick Montuna driving range. Another free ad for him. Mate, it's good to have you in here. You're nervous tonight?
Yeah, a little bit. Always nervous when I step into the Petrucci studio at Q, get the old sweaty mitts, and a little bit nervous to sort of see all the big dogs here. But no, I'm excited. I'm really keen to preview the Masters. Looking forward to the week. And as I said, to have three good-looking men in this room with me, I'm pretty excited about it.
Huge week. Good to have you in, mate. You're going to be the brains behind this operation. And Baldy, of course, our calm, cool, calm and collected man. I'm modelling my dad's skills on you, mate. Nice and calm. It's good to have you back as well, mate.
Great to be here, mate, and very excited to be sitting in the studio with McGill. We've played golf together a couple of times, but we've never
done
a podcast together, and we're both fans of each other, so it's...
That's not what he was saying before.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm a big fan of Brad, too.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a big fan of you boys, except for probably Q, so it's good.
Fair enough.
But boys, before we break down the biggest golf tournament of the year to date, obviously it's the first major. We have a presenting partner. We have someone supporting us for the next 12 months. Australia's biggest golf retailer in Golf Box. So
huge.
That's amazing. They're going to drive us for the next 12 months. Unbelievable setup they've got. They've got a sale on now, up to 50% off store wide. For anyone out there as well, if you look, you know, it's a good time of year to buy some golf kit coming into the major season. So thank you to Golf Box. We're going to be presenting with them for the next 12 months. So bloody excited for that too, boys.
Huge.
How good.
Can I just say that I've been a Golf Box customer for a couple of years now, and they are leading the way in customer service no matter what e-com brand you're working with. Absolutely nail it. They've got a great range. And, very fortunate to be working with them for the next 12 months. Huge.
Absolutely. Can't wait. I actually ordered a new torque tool because I got a new driver, Shawnee. I got the new AI Smoke Callaway, and
yep.
I wanted to change the head and the shaft. And I was like, how do I do it? I can try on the spanner. Didn't work. Jumped on a Golf Box, bought myself a torque tool, bought it on the Thursday morning. It was in my front letterbox next morning.
Exceptional service.
Friday morning. So overnight delivery. They're over in Perth. I'm here down in Geelong. So yeah, unbelievable service. So if you want something and you're going to play golf on the weekend, get
it. Also the latest brands. Melbourne's on there.
Melbourne.
All the ones. I mean, Freddie's on the ball with what's cool. So if you need actually, you know, cool golf gear too, it's on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is maybe something I shouldn't admit, but I went to Perth on a work trip a couple of years ago and I actually sought out a Golf Box store that was on the way to where I was going, and I just wanted to pop in there.
Enormous stores too.
See it. Very cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely stoked. Thank you so much to them. So make sure you listeners out there, it's a good way to support us by supporting Golf Box to keep us on the road for the next 12 months. And yeah, bloody excited. Can't wait to launch a few giveaways and all that for Masters Week as well. Stay tuned on our socials. Tee It Up Pod. We'll be doing a Masters giveaway and collab with them throughout the back end of the week. So jump on board, get over to that. But boys, it is here, finally, the biggest build up to a tournament in recent memory, because I guess it's the first major of the year, but the Masters tournament is here at Augusta National. Brad, you're the biggest golf nuffy in the room. You live and breathe it. You do it for a living. What does Masters Week mean to you?
I think back to the first major ever watch, and that was the 2011 Masters. So I'm a late comer. And remembering Rory hit that big snap hook, that's my big memory from the Masters, sort of the first major watching. I think it was on Channel 9 back in the day, and just got me right into golf watching it. Like the beautiful golf course, the rolling hills was just lovely. The flowers, the azaleas, and just the history. The big thing that I love about it, just like the players, is that you play the same course every year. So you have so many memories from different holes, and, you know, Tiger Woods chipping on 16. Jordan Spieth dunk ball on 12, which I hate to mention being a big Jordan Spieth fan. And then so many other memories. So that's the most important thing, I think, is that they play the same course every single year, and you can sort of draw back on that when sort of different players do things.
It demands prestige, the Masters. Like, the other majors are incredible. Obviously, they change courses and things like that. But the no phones, the limited tickets, you know, just the green jacket, the
sandwiches, the beverages, the dinner, everything.
Like the hype around the menu that they're going to have, the past winners have for dinner. Like, it's incredible. And I can't wait. And the build up that they have on KO and Fox for us here in Australia to watch it. Best week of the year. Shawnee, you've been in golf now for as long as Bradley. What are you most looking forward to when it hits the Masters week?
It's for me, it's knowing that, like, not many Aussies have won it firstly. So, I mean, you've got Adam Scott, we'll touch on a little bit later, like a favourite moment where you've got Scotty that's won it. The history around it, I love seeing like the amateurs that are playing as well. Just everything about it, I love it.
Yeah, it's a great tournament. And Baldy, you're obviously my vintage. You know, I'm late to golf, but you've always been a fan. Like, sure, you got some memories.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about history, and it's not always the case that, you know, preserving history and not evolving is a good thing, but I think it certainly is in the case of the Masters, and they've done an awesome job to preserve that tradition.
Yeah.
But I guess what shines for me the most is how much it means to the athletes. And, you know, when you see that, I think that immediately gets you invested as a fan, because you know there's something on the line every year.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, the whole qualifying for it, getting an invite, like, it's the smallest field in all major golf. They have limited numbers there. They have the best amateurs from around the world. Obviously, we have got a great connection through this podcast with Jasper, and seeing him go through it all, and we've all played, well, most of us played with him over the last couple of weeks, and just how relaxed he is. And, you know, I don't know how relaxed I'd be in that position that he's
in. What was your takeaway from your interview with him?
I just think he's going to go places, that kid, just purely from his attitude. I think he just plays it as it comes, doesn't have a high opinion of himself, doesn't expect too much from himself, is just going to take it all in. I think, you know, all the best to him. It's going to be cool to see him out there with the world's best. I think he was just taking it in his stride. I don't think he'll get overboard.
Yeah, he's leaning into the experience, isn't he, rather than shying away from it or trying to protect himself from the hype, which I think is great. And he's, you know, my experience with him is he's got that elite athlete mindset, whereas he wants to attack it rather than sort of sit back and try and insulate himself.
It's also like an experience too, right? Like, if you get in his position, you go in and play practice rounds at Augusta that no one's really ever getting to do. You go in to walk the course when no one's ever out there. Like, you get to play like up to probably like, you know, 8 or 9 rounds on Augusta that like literally no one in your circle of people would have done. And it's like any US Open course, like, you could try hard enough, you might be able to get on there through, you know, God knows how many people you'd have to go through, but like, you just can't get on Augusta. And I think that's like the most special thing when, you know, a friend of mine, Lucas, came back who played in it, and we all just sat around one night. We're like, dude, like, holy shit, like, you've played Augusta. You've been there when no one's there. You've played practice rounds, like, Tiger's on the fairway opposite you. Like, that's an experience you'll never, like, never forget, but also no one can just go and take, or, like, you know, have that same opportunity in, like, any probably way, shape or form around a golf course.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And a bit of history about Augusta National for the layman out there, which I was only a couple of years ago. It was founded by Bobby Jones, who's just, if you haven't watched the movie, go and watch it, because you get the whole story about Bobby Jones. But he's the legendary amateur champion, and his mate Clifford Roberts, who was an investment banker from New York. So Bobby Jones retired from golf in 1930, and he hoped to realise his dream of building a golf course. Got in touch with Clifford Roberts a couple of years later, decided to build a golf club, got the national name of Augusta National, and then they paid $70,000 US for a 365-acre property, which was called at the time Fruitland Nurseries, and then Augusta National was born. There's been a lot of alterations since, but obviously it is what it is now. They change it every year. They change some holes around and things like that, but the beauty of the course is you'll never know by eye, actually seeing what those changes are. So that's the history of the tournament. It started in 1934, a couple of years off for a couple of wars here and there. But apart from that, it's going 88 years strong. And, it's amazing history. Just that whole, like you were saying, Brad, like, at the same course every single year. yeah, just really, really special.
That same theme song. I mean, even if you like think about it, you can hear it in the back of your head.
Just heard it right then.
Exactly.
Have you looked into media accreditation?
No, I've never thought about going there.
Because there's a media ballot
joking.
To play. Michael Warner from the Herald Sun, a former colleague of mine, he went over to cover it and was successful in the media ballot and then was able to play. Actually, sorry, it wasn't Mick Warner. It was Mark Hayes.
Well, you know, we'll all
2025.
Yeah.
Teed up on ground.
We'll all be next year. We'll be fighting over our ballot ticket.
I'll kick the shit out of you.
We probably will. Big Shawnee, big horsey boy, big strong boy. But let's get into our favourite moments from the Masters. We'll go a trip down memory lane. We've all had time to think about this. I put it on the run sheet last week. Shawnee, we'll start from you because you're the furthest away. What's your Masters moment that sticks in your mind and something that you'd love to share with our listeners?
I thought about this a couple of times and then there was like one absolutely clear winner. So 2013, our man, Adam Scott, won the Masters. I was in, must have been grade 12. I finished school in 2013 and I took the day off school. So I remember watching it on the couch, just thinking like, this is the craziest moment ever. When he birdied 18 against Angel Cabrera, like how he erupted with Stevie Williams, like the whole atmosphere. Like when he held the putt on 18, it was like he'd already won the tournament. Like it was electric. And then in the playoff, winning on the second playoff hole, I believe, holding that putt, which like Stevie Williams gives him like an extra read on, just like epic moment. I remember just going ballistic on the couch. And then I was like, I'm not going to school today. I remember my parents being like, yeah, you can have the day off, big doggy. This is a monumental occasion. And then the next day I went back to school and had a biz man class. And our biz man teacher was like a golf nuffy. He was the golf president at the school. He used to work with the team and everything. And I remember walking in, he just looked at me and goes like, you didn't miss much yesterday. He's like, he just talked about the Masters the entire day. So that's massive for me, seeing an Aussie win it for the first time ever. Yeah, loved it.
I think he was the right guy to win it for Australia too, Adam Scott. Like, I think he epitomizes like a bit of everything from Australia, like the prestige of golf, but then also the laid back sort of larrikin. And he seems like a really laid back guy the more you see him interviewed. And
yeah, he's always had that, like, I don't know, slightly robotic nature in interviews where he does talk quite calmly. And I mean, even I'm pretty sure Uniqlo was, I was trying to look back on old films, but maybe not. But I mean, he obviously won it with the broomstick as well. And then the next year, that was quite interesting where they actually took the broomstick away from golf. So, I mean, you win a major for the first time, especially the Masters being the first Aussie. And then the next year, you can't actually use the putter you won with. I thought that was quite interesting. Whether Scotty's, I mean, he's obviously won since, but, you know, that's a momentous occasion where he stands there with the broomstick.
What was he wearing? I mean, there's a Mercedes badge in my
white
head.
White polo,
I
reckon.
Yeah. White polo, black pants.
Black pants, there you go.
Grey pants, white pants.
I thought it was cream, but...
Grey. Maybe I just butchered that.
I'm looking at an airboy. It's grey pants.
Well, Q's looking
at me. Look at him when he gives us a fist pump. Look at the bicep.
Yeah, and the big common Aussie, I think he held out as well when he held the putt on 18.
He did.
That's my moment as well. It's truly one of those, you remember where you were when it happened moments. Yep. And, you know, you have those in sport. And I remember where I was when I found out that Princess Diana died, for example.
So, I do too.
Adam Scott's win sits alongside that. I was working at the AFL Players Association at the time. All the staff were in the office, in the kitchen watching it, including the late, great Danny Frawley, who I remember was super pumped and carrying on like Spud could do. So that's my moment as well.
Yeah, incredible. McGill, you've watched since 2011, so you've watched, what, 13 Masters tournament, about to be the 13th Masters tournament. Which moment stands out for you?
Well, I think after what Baldy and Sean said, I probably do agree. 2013 probably is my moment because I can remember clearly where I was. So I was on the 15th hole at Cranbourne Golf Club because I was that much of a golf nut that I decided to go play golf while the event was on. But I still remember sort of watching it on my phone while I was playing and, remembering exactly where I was at that moment. But other than that, the one that I put in the notes with Jordan Spieth in 2015, I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan. And he obviously had that close loss to Bubba Watson the year before and then come back. And then he tied the scoring record at 18 under par with Tiger Woods before Dustin beat it in the November Masters. So I don't know if that counts, but yeah, to tie the scoring record with Tiger and win his first major, and then obviously what he went on to do in the next few years. So he's obviously dropped off a little bit, had a wrist injury and so on, but that's definitely my moment. I remember watching him win in the navy shirt, white pants. I reckon he was rocking that. I've watched those highlights a few times.
I got a funny story off the back of that. So when I used to caddy, which Q doesn't know about, I used to be a golf caddy, he came to Capital. So Crown paid him an exorbitant amount of money to come for a day, to pay an expo day. And basically all the, you know, high rollers and stuff could pay a fair fee probably to, you know, play four holes with Spieth. And for whatever reason, Spieth's caddy left his golf bag unattended for a good 10 minutes. So one of the boys ran up, grabbed his putter that he won with, kissed it, and then put it back in the bag. And then the caddy didn't realize, came out, grabbed the bag, and he ran off.
That is actually funny. I've got a similar story about Jordan Spieth's putter. So one of my mates, Inyo Garcia, he was caddying for Minwoo Lee in the Oz Open a few years back when Jordan Spieth played. And Zinho was caught just standing on the side of the green, just staring at Jordan's putter while he was holding it. And Jordan said, "It doesn't bite. Do you want to touch it?" And he goes, "I'm not going to touch that thing because I'm scared I'm going to drop it and break it." So he actually knocked back the opportunity to touch the famous putter, which I think is probably the second most famous putter in golf behind Tiger's. I don't know if you boys agree or disagree, but yeah, that 009, the rusted finish, it's pretty sick, that putter.
Well, boys, it'd be remiss not to talk about a moment from Tiger Woods. And we go back to 2005 for my moment. I've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years re-watching final rounds from Masters tournaments. And there's been some moments from Tiger, which, you know, I was sort of trying to pick, but it comes in 2005, the 16th hole, par 3, going head-to-head with Chris DeMarco. He cleared the green, left of the hole. I think he had that impossible shot. And he's the hole was located at the bottom lower level. And Woods, he had no direct route to the hole. And he spent some time weighing up his options, and he opted to chip to the brow of the hill. And he almost stopped, but then the ball wandered down the slope on and on. And looked like it was going to stop on the edge of the hole, but history was made.
And one of the most iconic moments in any filming of golf. I mean, like, the irony that the ball just, like, paws on the Nike logo and drops.
Yes.
I don't know, this year, does it pause on the Sunday Red logo?
Is he using Sunday Red pills?
I mean, there's half a chance.
Oh, there are those exploding pills you can buy.
The Bridgestone logo and the Sunday Red, like, maybe.
But no, that's my moment. Like, I just think, when as being quite new to golf and, you know, better than most, unbelievable.
How about him?
Incredible. But, mate, yeah, so that, like, hopefully there's another moment like that this year where we'll be reminiscing next year about, and we can talk about it. But that's what the Masters brings up, is these incredible moments at the same course. Like, talking to Jasper on the podcast the other day about recreating shots, he got, like, the shot Bubba hit, I think it was in 2012.
So cool.
He goes,
Yeah.
I was there, I just had to go and hit it.
Hooked it through the trees.
Yeah, he just went and hit it. Obviously, Bubba's a lefty. So
I guess if maybe some of us were Americans, you'd probably say 2019 when Tiger won being an incredible moment. But I don't think that tops Adam Scott winning.
Not for
like, it's
us,
pretty
not
insane, but yeah.
Yeah, not for us at all.
I think I cried after that, but probably cried when Scotty won too.
Dougie, there's one back
big
for Dougie,
you, mate. Yeah,
Shawnee was 18 in
year
12.
He did follow me up about that multiple times. So.
Boys,
I cried too.
The course, so it's an incredible golf course, like we know, and there's some amazing holes. And I put it to you guys in the lead up to this, is to pick out like a hole that we think something notable for our listeners to take note of when they're watching. You know, if you're quite new to golf like me, you know, you don't really know what it's going on, but they're all named with incredible names, and that they all have a bit of history behind it. But Brad, what's your most favourite golf hole at Augusta National and why?
Yeah, for me it's 13. Azalea, its name, the par 5. I think Baldy had that as well. I just love the little dog leg left. You had to hit a draw off the tee and avoid the trees. Got Rays Creek running down the left-hand side for the whole length of the hole, and then across the front of the green. And a thing that really interests me to test the skill of the players is they've got to hit that draw off the tee, but then they've also got to hold the ball up off that uphill lie and sort of try and hit like a high sort of fade flight into the green for the way the green sits. You can't sort of just fling a hook with a hill. So it's very interesting to see the way they sort of hold the ball up there. And I mean, there's some golfers who play a natural draw who really struggle with that tee shot and sometimes lay up. And then when you lay up, you've got a severely downhill lie obviously you've got to hit over Rays Creek. So that's always been one of my favorite holes to watch coming down the stretch. And I think there's been some big swings sort of in major championships, and hopefully this year will be the same with some eagles or a bow if you rinse it.
Yep. Sporty?
Yeah, well, my backup's number one, T. Olive. So it's obviously somewhat of an unremarkable hole, but just love seeing the guys get up there for the first hole, manage the nerves and emotion, try and hit a tee shot where there's not a whole heap of fairway to land it on. And then if they get on the green and two, they've got generally a pretty tricky putt. I think in first day in previous years, that hole's been cut maybe front left, downhill putt. And I think most of them are really happy to walk away with a par.
Yeah, well, John Rahm last year, did he 4-putt to start?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, there you go.
Ernie Els might have 5-putt, I reckon, on that hole as well, 2016 or so. So, yeah, very nervy. I wouldn't want that to play that first hole.
Ollie Goss obviously joined the podcast yesterday, and I spoke to him about, so what's your most memorable shot from the Masters? And he just said, but he was 19 years old, so like, I'm sure that they all still feel it, but he said he had that feeling you get when you're really nervous in your stomach. He said he had it in his fingertips and his toes.
Ooh.
On that first tee.
It was well described, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was just duck hooking everything yeah. left. And he goes, he got better and better because he played the four rounds, got better and better. Not duck hooking in as bad, but no matter how many times he stood up on that tee, the same feeling came. So, yeah, good luck
to him. I can't wait to watch Jasper hit that first tee shot.
Well, the best thing with the Masters app as well, like we're talking about before how good it is, but that app is phenomenal. Shot you can watch shot. Every single shot of every single
player. Download
like,
it now.
Like, there is nothing better in golf than that app.
Every major should have that functionality.
100%.
Just shows the bucket of money that Augusta National have and the Masters have to do all this sort of stuff. Shawnee, what's your
I was thinking about this quite a bit, and then I texted Lucas because I was really intrigued to see what he thought after playing it. And he made three really good points. So he called out three, obviously the short par four, because it's got the most diabolical green on the course. He said that was the most challenging green front to back that it was kind of he played whilst he was out there. He made a really cool point about number five, which I really want to mention, is that was actually mastered off the old road hole at St. Andrews. So 17, anyone out there. So that was kind of like Mackenzie's way to like bring that into Augusta, which I think is quite cool. Like a little note to say you're taking like a classic Scottish course and putting it in the middle of Augusta. And then 14, which I didn't actually realize is the only hole without a bunker, which is quite cool.
Yeah, right. Didn't know that.
It's called Chinese fir 14.
There you go.
Yeah, right. My favourite hole, and this is purely off talking to Ollie Goss yesterday, is the 15th. And, you know, it's a birdie hole and an eagle hole. A lot of the guys go for it. And it invites that. It's the waterfront of the green, which used to be a stream when Augusta was first built, but it's become a pond bank. And it's really thick and steep.
Well, Jade just flopped one in there last year.
Yeah. So it can, and it's at the back end of the, you know, coming down the stretch on Championship Sunday. It's going to invite these guys to really go for it. And talking about the grain on the green and how particular you need to be to hit a point, he goes, you needed to hit a beach towel to be able to score on this hole. Famously in 2018, Sergio Garcia had to lay up with his second shot in the opening round, and his approach hit the green, spun back and finished in the water. He dropped another ball and did the same thing again, and he had a 13 on that hole.
Yeah, I remember watching that, yeah.
You know, it's actually the highest score on a hole in major championship golf history.
Did he chuck a club after that?
Probably. He's an angry Spaniard.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I'd be disappointed if
he didn't. So the Firethorn for me is something that is a hole that was, for me, I would never have thought of it until, you know, talking to someone who's played it. And, you know, those little nuances, like if you lay up on the right, you know, the shot you're giving yourself into the green is way harder than if you're weighing up on the left-hand side of the fairway. And the undulations that Augusta throws up, which Ollie talked about, if you haven't listened to that one with Ollie Goss, the memories he's got from what that course threw up is a different beast to any other golf course in the world.
So, who did he present the jacket to?
Ollie Goss.
Yep, being the low amateur.
Did he present it the next year?
Bubba Watson won Bubba it that Watson, year. So yeah. It's 2014. Yeah. So Adam Scott won the year before. So
yeah.
he also talks about like being up in the butler cabin with Jim Nance.
Unbelievable experience.
It was Bubba Watson, Adam Scott and him. And he'd known Scotty for a long period of time. So he talks about how cool that was and that Bubba just brushed him. So
I love what he said about, I was fascinated by what he said about having the local caddy as well. Yeah. Just saying that, you know, the local caddies bring, you know, 10 plus years of intel on how the course, particularly in reading the greens, how beneficial that was for him as a first timer.
Yeah, well, apparently you need 8 years, they're saying, to get to know these greens. And Jasper actually has Simon Clark, who's caddied over there in the past as well. So, who's an Aussie, which is amazing. He has a lot to do with the game and all those with Matty Griffin and all that down here.
When does the draw come out? Do you know, Brad?
I reckon it'd be probably Wednesday morning we'd get it, I reckon.
Cool.
Yeah,
very keen to see who Jasper's playing with.
Mm. Yeah. Well, the cool thing last year with Harrison Crowe, we've got an episode coming out of Harrison Crowe this Thursday. So on the Thursday of the first round of the Masters, Harrison Crowe, obviously Asia Pacific amateur the year before, he played with Minwoo Lee and I think it was Larry Myers last year. It was his last ever Masters. And he's the guy who took Tiger down the stretch.
Did he play with him multiple rounds, not just the first two?
Well, he only made the first two.
I thought Larry Myers made the cut.
No, he didn't. It was his final round of golf. Oh, okay. And obviously it pissed down rain. But they played the last couple of holes on the Saturday last year because it all got washed out.
Yeah.
But it was just like he thought that was that's really cool for a guy who's at the very start of his professional career to go with a guy who it's quite ironic for two Australians to get paired up with Larry Myers, who he broke Australia's hearts back in 87 when he rolled the shark with that chip in. So it's pretty cool. So hopefully they do something like that with Jasper, like, you know, a past champion, another up and comer as well, or something like that, which will be amazing. But let's rip into previewing this year's edition of the Masters. it's highly sought after. It's one of the four times we'll see the best players in the world all get together and play in one tournament this year. So it's a real test of golf. We're going to see what this LIV stuff's doing now. It's a big coming together of the PGA Tour and LIV. You know, there'll be a heap of headlines around, you know, the LIV guys played softer golf courses. Are they going to be ready? Is what's happening here? They've obviously got stats from the LIV tournament now where they're comparing against the LIV fields. So John Rahm's apparently driving the ball 20% better than he did last year, but that's compared to the whole LIV field. So obviously weaker back end of LIV fields as he was having on the PGA Tour. So it's, you can chuck a blanket over these guys. It's going to be amazing for us to break it down, give some tips, give some predictions. Brad and I are going to take you through the sort of player that we think would best suit Augusta National. Obviously, Ollie Goss did that with me as well, but there's some real statistics that stack up at Augusta National, and we'll run through that for you guys as well. So we'll get into that now. Before we get into the statistics and the player profiles, the weather has always played a massive role at Augusta National. It's a bit of a game of two halves we're looking at for this year's edition on the 2024 Masters. Looks perfect for the organisers, and then we get to Thursday morning. High winds, rain, and electric activity on Thursday morning is the scenario that they're looking at. 30-kilometre gusts. So if you're getting the Arvo draw on Thursday, happy days. So you want the late Arvo Thursday, early morning Friday draw. Friday sees a change in wind direction to a westerly, but there's no drop in wind strength. So for the first 2 days of the tournament, you're looking at really, really heavy conditions. So it's going to be low scoring. Like obviously last year, I think John Rahm was 12 under and the year before Scheffler 10. So super hard for these guys to score. Into the weekend, an affirming golf course with the sub-air doing its thing. Saturday looks the best day for scoring with lighter winds, especially for the leaders. And that continues into Sunday, with is looking at near perfect turf conditions and releasing the green. So wind through again looks a factor with a south westerly gusts over 20 kilometres an hour on Thursday. So weather will play a factor again this year at Augusta National, which is amazing because it's already a tough golf course, and the best player for the week will actually prevail, which is pretty cool. So
don't like hearing that there's lightning in the area though. Well, I don't want to see anything get called off.
Well, maybe they might delay the start to a bit of a later start, which is pretty cool.
Let's hope we don't see any trees drop this year.
Well, we're talking to Harrison Crowe about that again. No, everyone listening to this, make
that
sure you tune
him,
in and listen
it?
To it. So he was about to putt.
Yeah, that's right.
But then
of course. Yeah. What hole was that again?
He was on 16 or 17. Yeah. And yes, par 3, 16. And Larry Myers was just outside him. So he thought Larry won't putt because a tree literally fell. And then Larry's putted, and the horn hadn't gone yet. So obviously Harrison naturally's like, oh shit, I better putt. And then he's putt like a birdie putt from like 7 foot, and it lifted out. And then the siren went like middle of his putt. So yeah, and he had to go back out and clean up and then finish the hole. So yeah, weather always plays a factor, and the forecast looks quite prolific the first couple of days, which is going to be nuts. And I can't wait to see that. But let's get in now to the player profiles, Brad. We'll break down what we think is going to be best, but what sort of player best suits Augusta National?
Yeah, so for me, Q, it's strokes gained approach is my most important stat for this week, or green in regulation percentage, and then also some great putting. So you can either, you know, if you do both, obviously you're going to lap the field, but I think you've either got to putt unbelievable and have some great feel on the greens, or your iron game has got to be, you know, on point and picking the right areas of the greens, leaving yourself below the hole and that sort of stuff. And I think one of the most important things about Augusta is, I think I always talk about golfers being either artists or scientists in the way they approach the game. And I think that Augusta is the perfect for a artist, not a scientist. So someone like a Bryson DeChambeau playing off all those different lies, especially with the wind being a factor uphill, downhill, I think he's going to struggle. And I think he has in previous years.
He's just jinxed himself that?
Well, past, I think he has. Ever 67. Since he called to the past 67, he's gone terribly. So yeah, I think the artists normally prevail. Like your Scottie Scheffler's great at moving the ball around and also a great ball striker. Tiger's got a great record. Obviously, Bubba Watson is sort of one of the most prolific artists that we've ever seen.
That's a great take, by the way. I really like that.
So yeah, I think shot shaping and artistry is going to prevail, or if not, strong putting, which is sort of like your Jordan Spieth or Cam Smith, who are obviously two of the greatest putters in the game.
Yeah, if we take a look at the winners' profiles from the last 2 years, in John Rahm last year, he averaged 298 yards off the tee, so that's 24th in the field. 85.7% of fairways were hit, so that's fourth overall. 72.2% of greens in reg, that was third overall. 60% scrambling, ninth, and then eighth in 1.62 putts per round. So, you know, that's pretty rock solid. He was top 10 nearly for everything. And then you go Scottie Scheffler, he had 10 under. He had 299 yards driving average, 76.8% fairways hit. 68.1% greens in reg, which was fifth, 56.5% in scrambling, which was ninth, and then 1.5 putts per round, which is fourth for Scotty Scheffler. So if he can get his putting going this week, look out. High ball flight, obviously spoke to Ollie Goss as well about his ball flight, hitting the ball high. You know, to hold these greens, you've really got to come in at a descent angle that is going to hold the greens, and you just got to be super strong tee to green. If you're not keeping the ball in play off the tee, you are cooked. I'm looking for long hitters who can handle the weather affected conditions as well. So like you mentioned, this not the scientist, the artist. You want the artist out there as well, guys who can hit a lot of greens in reg and keep out of trouble on the par threes and par fours. And we need players who are long enough and aggressive enough and subtle enough, strokes gained around the green, to take advantage of the par five. So, yeah, the angle in is very important.
Would we say that Adam Scott's an artist on the golf course, or is he more...
No, I would not. He's sort of the one that stands out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's more of a scientist, I would say, than one. But if you look at a lot of the other winners, like obviously...
Well, look at Bubba.
Bubba, Jordan.
Bubba's probably the biggest artist.
Exactly. Jordan Spieth, Tiger.
Patrick Reed. Shocking Patrick Reed. Green.
Puts the dick off it. Yeah, a lot of those guys. Yeah. The only one that probably... Another one that stands out, but a different Masters with the rain and the time of year was Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
He muscled it through that year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the course played so different. You could see in the scores, so...
Yeah. And that was that odd off year too. Played different time period, different time of the year. 20 year almost as well.
Yeah, that year can get stuffed. Boys, there's six Australians pegging it up this year, and we're just going to take a little bit of a dive into these guys before we go into the wider field. But obviously, we'll start off with Cam Smith as the leader, I guess, of the pack for the Aussies. Not the highest ranked Aussie going into this, but if you were still playing for world ranking points, he would be. You look at the, I think he's had six or seven starts at the Masters. He's had top five, tied second, tied 10th and tied third, and he had a tied 34th last year when he came back a little bit underdone, I think, from his first season on LIV. Cam seems to, you know, he's not great off the tee, can't drive the ball, but something about Augusta National with the artistry and around the greens.
Yeah, well, you look at when he won the Open as well, like that's got to play into it. If you can move around one of those courses, you know, you can win anywhere, surely.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter for Cam if he's keeping the ball in play and got his driver under control. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be good enough just to keep it in play. You get him, he hits those greens in reg. He's hitting, say, 10 to 12 greens in reg for the day. He's going to have a low score, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure. Especially with his stats this year on LIV. Like, he struggled a lot with the driver, but he's 1.49 putts per green in regulation. So if you can get the ball on the green, he's very, very dangerous.
Move now to Jason Day, who's the top-ranked Aussie going into this. He had a tied second, I think, back in 2011. I believe we go back to Jason Day. One of the best players in the world right now. Tita Grant, super strong. Hasn't been great with the short game this year, Brad.
Yeah, not his greatest year with the short game so far, but he's still 43rd in putting on the PGA Tour, so it's not too bad. But he's got, obviously, that incredible chipping action. He's very shallow into the ball, which I think is going to be very important with the grain at Augusta. And as you said, yeah, he's got a great record, so no reason that he can't jump right up there. He's sort of another guy that comes alive when Augusta comes around.
Might also be best dressed, too. God knows what fits he's going
to
have out there.
What would you like to see, Shawnee?
They got to go retro. They got to go hard retro. Just get him in some real baggy stuff.
See, Ryan Ruffles is in the Melbourne right now too on socials and looking mint. So I'm actually on board. I was a bit more of a...
Oh, I did see the rough man in there.
He's flying. He's looking good, Ruff. Big shout out to the great man.
Real baggy fits. I think he's got to go out there and kind of like psych everyone out with what he's wearing too.
Yeah. Next cab off the rank is our Masters champion from 2013 in Adam Scott. The scientist, the Australian scientist, we'll call him now, coined by Brad McGill.
Love it.
Won it back in 2013. You know, the ultimate professional. He's going to be there. He's been in great form this year too, Scotty. So, tied 14th just last week at the Valero Texas Open. So, you know, he's coming in pretty good form. Ashkay and Denny McCarthy ran away with that tournament. So, you know, if they weren't in the tournament, he's finishing third or fourth. So, pretty impressive. But what do you got on Scotty for us, Brad?
Yeah, just the putting stands out for me. Like, he's 20th in strokes gained putting this year on the PGA Tour, which is really, really good for Scotty. And he's normally an elite ball striker. He's only averaging 65% of greens so far this season, which isn't sort of great for someone of Scotty's talent. But he has said he knows the breaks. He's had some great results around Augusta, including the win in 2013. So, if that putter can keep behaving and he can, you know, match it up with the iron game that we know he's got, then yeah, he probably looking at top Aussie, I reckon.
Well, he's only missed the cut twice in his whole career at Augusta National, in 2004 and 2009, and he started playing it in 2002. So, pretty impressive.
He likes it out there.
Yeah, he loves it. Well, clearly, he's one. He loves it, mate. And we love Scotty.
We do. We love
him. The ultimate pro, the Uniqlo king. Pretty impressive there. And Cameron Davis. He's the forgotten man of Australian golf, the man who just seems to just keep plodding along, making cuts. Ball striker, tee to green, very strong. Short game, questionable. What do you got?
Yeah, you bang on there, Q. Same thing. Green regulation, 65%, which is a little bit below average for Cam. He's 89th in strokes gained putting. I said these are the two stats that I sort of focus on for this week, which is not too bad. It's sort of mid PGA Tour. But yeah, I think Cam's got to have an outstanding week with both ends of the game to sort of contend.
Yeah, he's my smoky for first round leader. He seems to really get out of the blocks really well in a lot of his tour events. So if he can get the late start on Thursday, Friday for us, look out for him. It's his second start at the Masters, obviously finishing tied 46th back in 2022. We've got Minwoo Lee, obviously the chef. Who can forget him? His lowest nine holes of the front nine ever in Masters history back in 2022. But the chef, he's been in really good form before this year. He hasn't had a great start to 2024. But he's got all the tools, got all the tricks, got, you know, tee to green incredible, putts the living knob off it. What do you got?
Yeah, I said you bang on again there, Q. He's had a slow start to 2024, but yeah, he has got all the tools. He can roll the rock. He's got touch around the greens. He's an incredible ball striker. So there's no reason that he can't perform anywhere if he brings his A game. But yeah, as I said, so far he hasn't. But he, of course, he had that final round front 9:30, which was incredible. And he seems to show up at the big events. Like, he had a great finish at the Players, obviously that great finish at the Masters a couple of years ago. So yeah, I'm sure he'll get himself up and about. Yeah.
Yeah, tied 14th back in 2022 is Minwoo's best result here. Obviously missed cut last year. And now Jasper Stubbs, the great man, on debut at Augusta National. You know, good friend of the pod. We've spoken about him to death. Winner of the Asia Pacific Amateur last year over here at the Royal Melbourne Composite Course. Has been over there a couple of times now to have a look at Augusta. And we played with him, four weeks ago now. And super cool, calm and collected. Really, really strong off the tee. Barely missed a fairway when we played with him, Baldy.
Yeah. No, I'm keen for Brad's analysis because he's played with him a few more times than we have. But, he's super impressive. He's got a great all-round game from what I can see.
Yeah, I agree with Baldy. He has got a great all-round game. He's very, very impressive off the tee. The only thing that I'm going to sort of point out for Jasper, and I'll be interested to see how he goes, is you do have to shake the ball a lot. He hits the ball very, very straight, and he's sort of like a robot off the tee. So I'll be interested if you can sort of, you know, channel that inner artist. I know we've beaten that to death so far this podcast, and work on his sort of, you know, his shapes off the tee. If you can get that in control. He's obviously got great touch around the greens. We saw at Royal Melbourne, you know, with all that pressure in the playoff, that really long lag putt he hit to win the Asia Pac, and then obviously that putt he held in the first playoff hole. He's obviously, if you can stay calm, collected, and you not have those tingly fingers that we spoke about that Ollie had. I actually reckon he can have a really, really good week. And I think what's important for Jasper is I would describe him as humble but very confident. Mm. So I think he's going to learn a lot this week, but he's also going to be confident enough in his own ability that he can compete with the big guys and won't get too overawed, I hope.
Yeah, and his secret weapon, obviously, is caddy and Simon Clark, keeping him super calm down the stretch at APAC, 6 months ago, back in October. He's been there before at Augusta National. He's caddied for Jessica Corder as well in big tournaments. So really well-rounded professional caddy who's going to help Jasper a lot over there. And his family's over there to support him, keeping him grounded. Jasper admitted they're more excited than he is. So it'll be great to see the great man get over there and peg it up. And, yeah, we're all behind him and we'll be posting the shit out of him. If his head is even on the telly. He did ask me not to mention his physique, because he's been working really hard, and I said he lost a couple. So he did send me a photo of him in the gym the other day, and he's looking big and fit and burly.
Get that
so
up.
I can't wait to see the great man out there showing off for the cameras, and look out for the DMs, great man.
You have one of those foot Joe Polos on that's a little bit tighter than the arms.
Are you sure you're not a medium? Are you sure not a large, Jasper? No, definitely a medium.
You want a small this week? What are you talking about?
Get me the athletic fit. Yeah. Very, very good luck
before
to the
before we
great
move
man
on from the Aussies, can we do a little impromptu segment that's McGill's coin without realising, and it's artist v scientist. And let's go through the Aussies. I want to hear what he says about them.
Aussies.
It's a binary thing, so they can only be a scientist or an artist.
Okay, so what do we got?
Adam Scott.
Scientist.
Cam Smith.
Artist, definitely an artist.
Minwoo Lee.
it's a tough one. I'm going to go artist with Minu as well.
Agree.
Jasper.
Probably haven't seen enough of Jasper to
it's one
to
of the
coin
other
it.
Mate.
Yeah, I'm going to go scientist, unfortunately, if I'm picking one.
Jason Day.
Artist.
Davis.
Scientist.
Brad McGill.
Both.
Kieran Nolan.
Neither.
Kieran, you're an artist, but you're like an artist that draws on the walls when you're supposed to be drawing on like the piece of paper or
so
something, that
child.
Sort of stuff. Yeah.
I used to do that.
Don't start me, Brad. We'll fire up again, mate, and Baldy doesn't like it.
Yeah. My best behaviour so far.
Parents fighting.
But no, I will say that I reckon that probably 80% of golfers are artists when they get to that level, and they are the top of the game. So it is hard to sort of like they all can do the scientific stuff correctly, but they've got to have that sort of inner artist, I think, to compete around here. And
is it process v feel, the split?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And just the way they see the game. Like, I mean, I think you see the way that Bryson approaches a game. It's very methodical in the way that he goes about it. And then you see, like I say, a Bubba Watson, the way he approaches a game where he hits shapes, this, that. Even like, you know, a TrackMan, like some guys don't even jump on TrackMan, they just feel it as long as, you know, lies and lofts, the way they sort of approach it that way, where, you know, those sort of scientists are like, I need my 8-iron to be 38 degrees and this lie, that lie, where, you know, someone that's a bit more of an artist can be like, as long as my 8-iron goes 145, I can draw it, I can fade it. Yep. I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah, so it's sort of, there's a little,
That's a good segment, Q.
Baldy, that's why you're the brains here, mate, and I'm the beauty. But there's a big contingency of amazing international players, well, non-Aussies, playing this week as well, Brad. And, you know, the Scotty Scheffler story, the most, you know, number one in the world, the best player probably in the world since Tiger Woods, had dominance years and years ago. We've got John Rahm, the defending champion, who's defected over to live. Brooks Koepka's back. We've got Ludvig Åberg, who's coming up through the ranks. We've got Xander Schauffele. We've got, won't even say it, Justin Thomas, who's obviously a past major winner.
Hey, just quietly, I pulled Justin Thomas' name out of a hat.
Yeah, put it back.
So now we're Team JT. Because whatever Sam was doing, I want him to win.
I hate JT.
I got Rory, don't believe it.
I got Ludvig, which I'm quite happy with. Victor Hovland as well, Jordan Spieth. So all these guys are, you know, incredible golfers. I've wanted to say this all day on the podcast, but the only man who can beat Scotty Scheffler, if he's on like he has been this year, is Scotty Scheffler. I think it's his tournament to lose, to be honest. If he can get the flat stick going in the way that he's been putting, obviously he had that short miss a couple of weeks ago.
Can you say that in a major, though?
You can. I think with Scotty Scheffler at the moment, he's in that Tiger
he's
company.
He's going that well.
Well, he's had, like, 5 starts for the year. He's won 3.
I don't think in a major, though. I don't think a major can't be 1v1, surely.
You can maybe say that, like,
in a tournament?
People say that about Novak in tennis, and that's somewhat true, but
I think he's in that ilk at the moment.
Okay.
With the
Brad,
form he's in.
Is that fair?
I actually agree with Q. I think he is. I just think the thing that stands out for me is that
his
greening regulation percentage is unbelievable and leads the tour, but his strokes gained approach is like miles ahead of second place.
Okay.
And that strokes gained approach is even more important because you can put it in the right levels, right places, sort of right sides of holes.
What if, like, hypothetical, it's match play and it's Brooks and Scheffler?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I still think, as I said, I still think it's what Q said is correct. It's only Scotty that can beat Scotty.
Okay.
And I think that if he can get going with that putter, there'll be no
because
stopping
that
him.
Is fully Tiger mentality. Like, it was Tiger v Tiger when he played in tournaments. And that was like, if Tiger didn't play well, then Tiger didn't win. It wasn't about who else was out there.
I think that's where it's at this year. Which is crazy to think, like, with people in the world that we've got right now, with Rahm, Koepka, Smith, all those guys at the top of their game, to have a guy who's that far ahead with ball striking and strokes gain off the tee and approach, incredible. If he can just putt like at a decent level, he wins the tournament by 2 or 3.
I'm really intrigued now, in a week's time, listening back on this conversation, if Scheffler doesn't win, or like maybe...
You missed the cut or something. We'll replay this. Thanks, Golf Box.
The scientists here. The scientists are backing him in.
The big thing for me, though...
Bryson wins.
The big thing for me is that Scotty has played great golf and put himself probably up a level, and the guys that are just behind him, none of them have actually filled me with any confidence. Like, John Rahm hasn't had a win on live yet. Brooks Koepka's just recently changed his putter, which I think is a massive change. He's gone to a mallet from a blade. So he's obviously struggling with that. We've seen the Rory struggles. Victor Hovland's basically been on holiday since the Ryder Cup. So there's obviously a fair few guys. Joachim Niemann sort of reared his head and then has sort of dropped back. But I still think he's sort of one of the, you know, top challengers. So, like, those sort of 4 or 5 guys that were just behind Scotty, if anything, have all dropped back, but it doesn't mean they will not jump up this week.
Yeah, let's have a chat about the defending champion in John Rahm, who's obviously, came back beautifully last year to roll Brooks Koepka, which would have been insane if Brooks had a won then. If a live player had a won the Masters last year, it would have been an unbelievable pandemonium. But let's chat about his chances. What do you reckon, Brad?
I think he gets the job done. He's my pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he does. I think
why?
Because I think what people don't realise, his greenie regulation percentage, I know I've beaten this to death as well, is 74%, which is only 1.5% behind Scotty's for the year. I know he's played on live, but he'd be ranked second on the PGA Tour if he was on the PGA Tour with that percentage. He is, but you can only play where you're getting put, and that's the thing. So,
do you reckon he's beating Scheffler after everything we just said?
Well, I think Scotty will beat Scotty. Okay. I think that putter's ran its race already from what I saw.
He's doing the Texas.
So Rahm just needs him to putt.
Exactly. Yeah, I just think Rahm has got, I think his putting game's a lot better. And I think tee to green, Scotty's slightly better. But I think Rahm's going to make it up in the putting.
Rahm's an interesting one, though, because I feel like Rahm has that sneaky snap hook that just comes out. Like, obviously, last year, the final hole, he snap hook one, had to hit a provisional, got lucky, kicked out right, and he won. But, like, I just always find his driving could just be a little bit hit or miss. Which in a major like that, in that setting, like I don't know if he'd go back to back.
Yeah, it's a good call. And the only thing that I do doubt is that both of them are natural faders of the ball, but there's obviously a few holes on this golf course. Like the second comes to mind, the fifth. Then you get the back nine, you've got 13, where you've got to hit that moving draw to sort of, take advantage of it. And that's the one thing that I think Johnny might struggle with compared to Scott.
Yeah, the moving draws would terrify me out there, by the way. That's not in the bag.
What about Victor Hovland? You mentioned he's been on holiday since the Ryder Cup. What's your take on Victor? Like, a lot of people have predicted that he will win multiple majors this year or over the next couple of years. What's the knock on his game at the moment, and where do you think, if he can win, where's he going to improve?
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to him. I just have hardly seen anything about him in 2024. So I don't know if he's battling a sneaky injury that no one knows about, or, and even statistically he's not really showing much. I know his chipping's improved, but under major pressure and around the Augusta greens, I don't know how that'll go. And then also he's a predominant fader of the golf ball. And I don't know if he's got that moving draw that you need on a few of the holes. I don't think you need to be a pure drawer of the golf ball, because there is sort of shots into 13 and a few other things where you've got the uphill line. You've sort of got to play with that steep sort of angle of attack and fight, hold that face open, which I think will play in Victor's hands. But yeah, I just don't know if he can shape it with that draw and chip under major pressure just yet.
Final one before we get into our tips and predictions for this week. Tiger Woods returns after withdrawing from, I think it was Phoenix Open, was it?
The Genesis. Yeah.
Genesis, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, with illness, allegedly. I don't know about Tiger's grit when he's feeling a little bit crooked. I don't think he bites down too hard. But,
that'd be cool.
Wow. Wow. Like on a US Open with a broken leg, for God's sake.
Show me the x-ray. No. So obviously he's a five-time winner here at Augusta National. Returns, has the media noise around him is that he has been flying and he's ready to sort of take this by storm. He won the low amateur in 1995, so he's essentially won six times around Augusta National for what he's been playing against. But will we see him in Sunday Red? Is he going to make the cut? That's what I think. That's what he's playing for this week.
I just hope it's not an injury pullout. Like, at least maybe finish the tournament or something, have a, like, be in the mix. But I feel like we've just seen so many, like, post 2019, seeing Tiger hobble around Augusta is just the last thing I want to see.
Yeah, I agree. I don't expect him to contend. I don't expect anything like 2019. Like, obviously, he had those great results late in 2018 leading into the 2019 Masters he won. So I'm not expecting that. But if he can keep the cut streak going and make the cut, and, as I said, playing Sunday Red, I'm very interested in him abstaining from sex, though. I don't know if that...
How do you do it?
Yeah, I tried that for the first 21 years of my life. I didn't have my golf game.
Why are you swinging it back to that?
But, that's a very interesting thing that came out. And I don't know if you guys heard what Phil said about that one.
No. Don't know. What's this all
about? No. So there's news at the moment that Tiger's come out and he's... abstaining, is that the right word, from sex?
I read that headline. What did Phil say?
Phil Mickelson said that all the hookers in the George area better look out on Saturday morning for Tiger.
Phil is unhinged. Yeah.
So I don't know, that could be me actually getting April fooled again, actually, now that I think about it. But
Man, there was some funny April fools. Yeah, there was some funny.
I got the Cam Smith mullet.
I almost had Taylor Gooch as my top 10 until I realised it was an April Fool's joke that he'd got an invitation. So, yeah, I'm gullible.
It'd be a great story. story for Tiger to make the cut and finish the weekend. I think,
for sure.
I think that's what we all
want to
see.
It'll help the bottom line anyway to get that Sunday Red off the stock.
But we all want to see it. Like, we want to see Tiger on a Sunday. Like,
mate, Augusta would be so happy that he's playing. Like, they need that still for the fans.
Oh, I think we need it as fans. Well, both. You know, we're still talking about it, and he's probably, you know.
Still rattled by what Phil said. I hope Tiger makes it a Sunday based on that comment.
I love it.
We'll have to fact check that one.
I've read it as well. We're going with it. Now, boys, let's go to our tips and predictions for this week. You can throw a blanket over this field. Like we mentioned, was Scotty Scheffler's biggest competitor, but, you know, we've looked a little bit deep and we've picked a couple of winners. Brad, you've been amazing on this pod. Unbelievable. Absolutely blown my mind how good you've been. So we'll let you. You've already announced that you got Rahm winning. Like, tell us why.
Yeah, well, I think I've already spoke about it. We'll go again. Obviously, defending champ. He's had some solid results on Live without a win. But as I said, he's got a very high greenie regulation percentage. Putter hasn't been behaving quite as nicely as he'd want. But as I said, going back to, I think any time a player goes back to somewhere they've won, the confidence they feel, especially on the greens, is, you know, normally their putting stats rise. So I'm hoping that'll happen for him and he'll get the job done. And yeah, be big for Liv if he can take the Masters. That means there'll be two majors they've got and they'll be hunting the other two.
Yeah, love it.
Jaquan Neiman for me. He's won three times since December. He's never had a top 10 in a major. He's in good form. At $26 is really good value.
You know what? If he goes and wins the Masters after winning the Australian Open, what it does to our tournament, I think it brings, you know, another 10 PGA Tour players or LIV players over to play in our event, which would be incredible for Aussie golf. Shawnee?
I went off the back of that point too because I really want to see Cam Smith win and then come back for LIV Adelaide. Fans see him go ballistic.
Pandemonium,
that, you know, back up to them playing Adelaide. I think it's pretty epic that you can watch an Aussie win potentially like a major and then see him, you know, how many weeks later play.
2 weeks.
A course in Adelaide.
Barracking for the story.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, I just remember last year at LIV in Adelaide, like Koepka all but won the tournament last year and Phil Mickelson finished what, tied second as a 75-year-old, and just seeing those guys, like, I was watching them on telly getting up before I had to watch them, and I'm standing there like, oh shit, they're right there. I'm watching these boys hit balls on the range. Like, it was incredible. So yeah, and we'll get that opportunity obviously to see these guys in a couple of weeks as well. Speaking of Koepka, I'm tipping him to win this year. It's his ninth time pegging it up at Augusta National. He's finished runners up twice now, but I want to go back to 2019 when he should have won the golf tournament. He should have beaten Tiger. He actually had 5 3 putts for the week for Brooks Koepka. So, like Brad mentioned before, he's got a little bit of a putting problem this year. But Major Brooks is a different Brooks. I think it's redundant, his results on LIV, when it comes to a major. Like last year, he hadn't had amazing results at the start of the year either and went out and went bang, and then he went and won. Win one, well, the US Open or PGA, whatever he won. So I think Brooks is my guy to win this year. He's a long hitter from tee to green, really effective off the tee, really creative around the greens as well, like Bradman, artistry. If you can get the putter just rolling at a decent level, similar to the Scheffler story. Brooks will never beat Brooks. Again, I don't think after that 2019 edition, but love to see him win. I just love his attitude.
I think he's got to come out hot. I think if he doesn't come out hot, then it's a, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's fit and healthy.
Brooks. Yeah, it's a Sookie Brooks.
He's fit and healthy, which is great. Like, he's got no injury woes. So, yeah, you know, the it's there for him to win. We'll go now to our bolter and just someone we think is going to rise up the ranks. It can be past champion, a lesser known, someone that we all just think who's been out of the limelight for a while, who's going to pop up. I think, McGill, you kicked off the first tips. You can go again.
Yeah, so my boulder's Nick Taylor, the Canadian. He won the Canadian Open last year in a playoff against Tommy Fleetwood, obviously hold that massive putt. And he also won the Phoenix Open in an incredible playoff, I think against Charlie Hoffman, if my memory serves me correctly. And those two wins, it just shows me that he's got big stones, Q. He's got massive stones. And if he's coming down the stretch in a major, I think he can handle himself really well and do really, really well. And those two stats that I've spoke about a lot, his 13th in strokes gained approach on the PGA Tour and his 19th in putting. So he's not the greatest off the tee, but I don't know if that's super, super important at Augusta. I think you can sort of work your way around the trees if your driver's not the straightest. So I'm expecting him to climb up the leaderboard, maybe even sneak a win, because I think this seems like one where a roughie could just throw a win in there.
Yeah, I've got Hanley in that sort of mould. He's not my tip, but he's in my mould of a guy who can just pop up because he's, you know, finished tied fourth last year and he's a relatively unknown. Who you got?
Jay Day, and it's purely about feel. He's got 3 top tens this PGA Tour season, so
yeah, it's been great.
As we know, good form turnaround, and just think he's going to be up there.
He's competed there before, tied second in 2011. Looks fit and healthy, looks happy, looks fresh out on course.
He does
Shawnee's
look fresh.
Happy with that, so, you know, look good, feel good, play
swagger,
good.
You know, that goes a long way.
Who you got?
Very roughy, but Cameron Young, absolute ball striker. Love the way he swings it. Told our very own Nick Butler to put money on him at $41. So I know Butts is going to be riding him home, which I think if he knows that, that's a bit of energy behind him.
Nice. He's a very good player. I'm going with the past champion as my guy to sort of rise up the ranks this week. I don't know if I can, Ty'd be crying right now if you heard this and thought you might bolter was a past champion. But I'm going with Patrick Reed. He's actually paying 80s to 90s on the TAB as a winner. And with these tricky conditions the first couple of days, I think it plays into the artist's hands.
I don't like the bloke, but it's a good bet. At $91.
I didn't know you knew him, Shawnee. You can't judge a man by,
It's a bit like you bet JT before?
I feel like I have, mate. He rubbished Mito Pereira at a dinner. That's what's got me right off him. Yeah, I liked him before that.
You were off him before that.
Oh, I was fucking hate him.
Do you think you get better odds for bad blokes, because particularly in the local
well,
market,
he's a shit bloke, so
no one's
going to
back him because everyone hates him, so you get better odds.
Tied second last year with Phil. Mm-hmm. Tied third maybe even, but he's a past champion 2018. Puts the living dots off it. Hasn't been amazing tee to green in the past, but I think he's really improved in that area over the last couple of years. He's 112th in the world golf rankings as well, so. I think he's someone who might want to improve on that. So I definitely think we'll see him up the top end of the leaderboard. Greens and regulations is still key here, and that's something that he's really good at. He never tries to overpower the course. He's always played really, really well here at Augusta National. Plays with a little draw, which is a very hard thing to do as well, which is going to help him. But after his win back in 2018, he's had 3 top tens in his last 5 starts, gaining 3 strokes every year putting at Augusta. So... yeah, I think he's a guy, a bit of a past champion, a smoky, a guy who no one likes, like you blokes have mentioned. But
it's a good bet. Like, he plays the villain, and like, he's going to go out there and just do his own thing, because he's probably...
Well, he's been out of the limelight for 12 months now, obviously, with the court case, sure, with Rory and all that sort of stuff's gone. So I think he might just be back to where he was before he won it, Captain America, all that sort of stuff. So he's the guy for me to sort of jump up the ranks this year, and great value if you're going to have a bet on a past champ who's still, he's only like... 33, 34. I'm still in really...
Top 10 bet on it. That's a hell of a
bet.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, and he reared his head last week in Live Miami as well.
Yeah, so yeah, he's one for me this week, boys. And I like watching him go around at the majors. I think he's a good player to watch. Well, boys, I think that rounds it out. It's been one hell of a preview. Best week of the year. First major of the year. The storylines are incredible. Golf Box, unbelievable to have you on board. Thanks so much. We can't wait to forge a partnership. If you haven't already, jump over to Tee It Up Pod on Instagram. We're going to be doing a couple of Masters tipping and predictions, so you can win some stuff as well, which we'll put out over the next couple of days. So make sure you're following along there. We'll be doing our reviews every day throughout the tournament. Just a little 10-minute update from McGill, Ty and myself, some notables and things like that. If you don't get up early to watch it, you can just jump on, listen to it for 10 minutes and jump into the final round on Monday when you're calling sick for work like the rest of us will be doing and doing that. So, boys, thanks so much for joining me. Baldy, always a pleasure to be in your house.
Great to be here.
Shawnee, looking good.
Thank you, boys. That was awesome. Brad, well done. Some very detailed notes. Very impressive.
Yeah, on your
awesome, Brad. Nailed it. Art v science.
Thank you. I hope you keep up this calm energy. I quite like it.
Yeah, it was good, Q.
Art versus
it's amazing what we can. It's amazing what we can do when you just put your head in a little bit.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producies Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share it with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or to advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.